we're in 1 Corinthians 12, or that's where we started. Somebody asked me one time, when do you talk about the Holy Spirit? And I said, well, whenever it comes up in the Bible. And when it came up, I decided I didn't want to only talk about one aspect of it, because the Holy Spirit is a huge part of what God is and what God does. And so last week I did some theology, sermon on that. And if you didn't get to hear that or see that, we have it on disc, we have it online, on YouTube, and you can get it from, is it Podbean? I think that's what it's called, our streaming thing. So, just so important. I think, in my life, just personally, I believed in the Bible. I read the Bible a lot. I believed in Jesus. But until the Holy Spirit came in my life, I didn't live like a Christian. And it's so important, so vital to what we are and who we are. So I want to spend another, the chapters 12 through 14 of 1 Corinthians are all about gifts of the Spirit and things like that. We want to talk about that. Last time I talked to you about the Holy Spirit as being a gift from God for those who believe in Jesus. People who, and Paul actually goes as far as to say, listen, if you don't have it, you don't have Christ. So the power of God, the power to live a Christian life, it comes from God as a gift. It's not something I earn. It's something that, and we talked about it, and we'll finish this week the same way, that Jesus said, if you ask your Father who is good and righteous, he will give it to you, right? I probably pray for the Holy Spirit, for our church, for our people, for our families, more than I pray for anything else for us, because if we have that strength from God, we endure, right? The Holy Spirit is essential for our divine fellowship. Peter says we are partakers in the divine nature, right? And that is about, literally you could translate it, divine fellowship. Fellowship with God. I can hear about the Father. I cannot touch the Father. I would die. I would disintegrate, right? We can't see the Father. The Son, he came, he spoke to us, we have his words, but he now sits enthroned in heaven in the glories of God, and one day we'll get to see him and worship him. But the Holy Spirit is that by which God communicates to believers his person, his self. It makes God alive in you, and he. We don't want to call it an it, it is a he. He makes God alive in us. I mentioned already that Jesus told us, if you ask, guides us in truth. So important. I mean, I call this age the age of misinformation. There's so many lies. There's so many falsehoods. There's so many false prophets, false messages. Some of them cloaked in Christianity, some cloaked in other religions. But the bottom line is there's a lot of falsehood. And what's going to protect you from the falsehood? The millions of liars, the millions of lies. There's one. That is the Spirit of God. He tells us right away. If you know what I'm talking about, you hear something, you say, wait a minute, that is not God. That is not Jesus, right? Today I want to talk about the power of God regenerating souls, the regeneration of souls, the idea of God transforming sinners. How many of you are sinners? Get your hands up. Transforming sinners into children of God. Transforming sinners into children. That's one way to understand regeneration. So we're going to look at, first of all, what the Gospel of John and what Jesus. And again, there are so many texts that we could use to talk about this, but these are some that I think are very pointed to it. He says, talking about regeneration, those becoming children of God. He says, but as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And if we think about that just for a second, the idea of being transformed, I was mentioning in Sunday school today, that it's like you take a model of something that you created, and then it's all twisted out of shape. It's unrecognizable as what it was started off to be. That's what sin does to human beings. Human beings are twisted out of shape. They are not what God created or intended us to be. And the only way to fix that, the only way to repair that, is through the work of Jesus Christ, through the work of the Father, and especially the Holy Spirit, which gives us authority to become children of God. We become children of God. That's what God created us to be. He created us to belong to Him, to be like Him, to follow Him, to call Him Father. I love the text, you know, in Romans, talk about the Spirit of God. It says, by Him we cry out, Abba, Father. It's like Daddy, Father. Not some mighty, you know, tyrant that wants to destroy us. He's our Father, the strong, mighty, awesome, perfect, loving, holy Father. And being His children means we call Him Father. We know Him, right? And He says, so He gave them the right or the authority to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. We've talked about this last time. The only way you receive the Spirit and power of God is to believe in the name of Jesus. God didn't send 1,000 people to talk to us. He didn't send 1,000 rescuers or 1,000,000 or whatever the world might think there is. He sent one. He sent one rescuer, one person, one name that we must call upon in order to be rescued, in order to be saved. And that name is Jesus. A little louder, please. Jesus. That's the name we call upon, right? So He's the one that gives us authority, power to become His. And it's by our faith in Christ. That's what joins us to what God is doing. He says, we were not born, and this is where we get into the term born again, or born as children. He says, we were not born not of blood or the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. One of the most powerful thoughts that we can have as God's people is that when God comes into my life, when the Holy Spirit comes in my life, it wasn't because I found God. People, I found God. No, you didn't. God found you, and God called you, and God brought you, and God put His Spirit in you through Jesus Christ, right? And that's what, you know, it is by God's will that we become children of God. You know, I have preached literally to thousands of different people in the years I've been here. And I would have thought that many, many more people would know God. It's not my fault. It's God's choosing. God chooses. And this is so important. If, you know, God's the one that chooses people to belong to Him, chooses people that He's going to work in. And as much as I, you know, would say about all those people that we've talked to and prayed for and hoped for through the years, you know, I'm always really glad when I see God choosing somebody, God changing a life, God working. And you know, that's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. But it's God that does it. You know, Paul said this in Corinthians. He said, we sow seed, somebody else waters it, but only God causes it to grow. And that's what rebirth, regeneration is only by the power of God. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, an old Jewish leader, and he brings up this idea of being born again. And he said to Nicodemus, he said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I think it was the 70s, you know, people talking about born again quite a bit, but it is a very popular, literally it could be translated born from above, which I think is a better translation in this context, meaning that we're not born, and he explains it to us, we're not born just as human beings. That's born from below. My mom and my dad, you know, they made a sinner. That's what, you know, David says that, right? He says, in my mother's womb, I was conceived in sin. Right? So we're born sinners. So all these little beautiful babies we got, they're born sinners. We pray for them. We talk to them. We try to sing, God is so good with them, you know, try to see if God will just pick them up, protect them, take them as His own. That's what we want, right, for all the little guys. But we're all born sinners, right? And he says, if you're not born again, if you don't receive, and I'm going to call it regeneration, if you don't receive a transformation in who you are, he says, you know, you cannot see the kingdom of God. There's two kinds of people. There's two kinds of people in the world as far as God is concerned. There are those who are regenerate, those in whom he is working, those in whom his power is causing them to know him, causing them to walk with him, causing them to seek him, causing them to abhor sin. And there are those who are unregenerate. An unregenerate person is someone that doesn't have any power other than their own power. And I was reading Puritan John Owen, and John Owen, I thought it was a very good point. He says, an unregenerate person might be able to change some small aspect of their life. They might be able to improve some little iota, some problem they have. Okay, I won't do that anymore. And they might be able to overcome. But an unregenerate person will never despise sin, will never see sin as what it is, destructive and murderous to our souls. An unregenerate person will never understand the holiness of God and what it would be like to stand in the very presence of a mighty, holy God who holds your very being in his hand. An unregenerate person just can't get it. And they go with the crowd. Jesus said the road is wide, it's broad, and there are many, 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 many people on it. The road that leads to the kingdom is narrow. And now and then you meet somebody, right? That's what Jesus said about it. So the thing is, he says, if we're not receiving God's Spirit, if we're not being regenerated, born again, then we will not even see the kingdom of heaven. Oh, pray, God, let me be on the narrow road. Pray, mighty God, continue your work in my life, so that I will stand with you all the way through, right? Nicodemus said again, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time his mother's womb. And Jesus said, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. And I would capitalize the second spirit. Because when the spirit is in you, that's a capital spirit. It's not a little spirit. It's not a human spirit. It's the spirit of God. It is the spirit of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit. And that's very powerful. And Jesus says the born again is about having the power of God, the spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in your life, in your heart. The spirit guides us. We've talked about this in truth. He guides us in many ways. And we'll see he does a lot more than that. The regenerate person is the only person that receives authority from God to belong to God. A regenerate person knows more about God than the brightest scientist you'd ever meet who thinks he's unleashed the wisdom of the universe. We know what they never can know unless the Holy Spirit opens their heart, right? We know God intimately. Intimately. He comes into us, hugs us, holds us, keeps us, guides us, leads us, right? The regeneration by the Spirit creates kingdom people. As some of my, these are just different texts that talk about different aspects of the regenerate work of the Spirit. Said, first of all, Jesus died for all. It always has to come down to that. This is not a work, you never want to separate the Holy Spirit from the Father or the Son. That's not how it works. The Holy Spirit responds to what the Father and the Son, they're all connected. They all, work on the same plan. So he says, Jesus died for all. In other words, that doesn't mean everybody gets saved. It means that everyone who will believe in Jesus will be saved. There's enough power in Jesus that if we all confess, if the whole, 8 billion people on this planet got on their knees tomorrow and confessed they needed Jesus and received Jesus to save, Jesus is powerful enough to do that, to save them, right? So every time that word all is there, people, look, everybody, no, that's not what it means. And you would have to throw out so many other texts and say, how does Jesus affect our lives when we believe in who he is, his death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection? But he says, Jesus died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose on their behalf. I think one of the most transforming things in Christian life should be and is motivated by the Holy Spirit. It's not all about me. When I was a thoughtless sinner, I'm pretty sure it was all about me. Whatever I wanted to do, whatever I wanted to have, whatever I thought, you know, I needed, that was everything. That's how people live. Greedy, selfish, cruel, hard, right? In Christ, no longer. I know Jesus now. I know Jesus intimately. I was talking about faith in the resurrection. Do you know Jesus rose from the dead? I don't guess. I don't have a faith to say, well, I hope it's true. I know Jesus rose from the dead. I know that he ascended into heaven. I know he stands in the center of the throne of power in the kingdom of God. I know that. And why? Because the Holy Spirit testifies to it. Every time I'm up here and start talking about it, I feel that you say, that's right, you got it. Amen. Amen means that's true. We don't live for ourselves anymore. I can't go on vacation from God. You like that? I used to think, yeah, I'm going to get away. No, I'm not going to get away from God because God's there. And if bad things present themselves, God says, no, that's not what you're here for. Okay. You know, can't take a vacation from God. Can't hide from God. We were talking about Jonah not too long ago. You know, can't hide from God, can't run from God. When God is with us, he says, we don't live for ourselves anymore. We live for Jesus. I try to tell guys that we're helping, I say, listen, guys, it isn't about Pastor Brown. It isn't even about Military Avenue Church. It's about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who gives us compassion and hope for people. Jesus Christ is the one who offers a message of salvation. It's not us. It's him. We serve him. We love him. We follow him. So our actions should show that, right? So he said, yeah, we do. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have come known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him in this way no longer. Sometimes the translators get things complicated. But the thing is, what he says is, you know, I don't look at people like, what kind of car you drive? No, you're not important. What kind of clothes you got? Oh, come on. You got no style. You know? We don't look at people that way. You know how I look at people? I look at people, you're regenerate. In other words, God is saving you. God is loving you. God is calling you. Or you need to be regenerate where God can save you and God can love you and God can call you. We serve Jesus Christ. We don't look at the world the way people look at the world, because we're walking in Christ. Kingdom people, we know that this is not it. This is the desert we're crossing, and one day we're going to stand in glory, and we're going to have to answer for how well did we follow Jesus? How well did we do it? He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. We'll talk about that again across the street doing Romans 6. And just the idea of the transformed life. God creates kingdom people. The old man, which died with Jesus, was buried with Jesus, praise God. And I said, keep him buried. And the resurrected man are two different things. Two different things. Different attitude, different heart, different hope, different desires, different ambitions. Everything's different. Everything's changed. And that's what he says. The old things are gone. The new things come. This is the power of God working through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit in our lives to make us new creatures. The one thing I always say, you know, I've had spiritual experiences. I've had powerful, wonderful spiritual experiences. But the only way I know they are legitimate is because of a changed life. And someone wants to come to me and tells me about the dream they had or a vision they had or angels they've met. They say, show me your life, and I'll believe that you're in God's hand. The transformed life, the life that says, I'm no longer the old guy. Old things are gone. That tells me God's at work. That tells me God's doing something. That tells me you're not just a normal human being. You are becoming a child of God, born again, regenerate in Christ, power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Colossians there says, therefore, I have been raised up with Christ. That's how Paul talked about himself. I love it. I've been raised up with Christ. There was another question we asked this morning. I was thinking about this. Say, you know, how do you know when you die, you're going to be raised up? You know? He said in Romans 6, he says, well, you share in the resurrection of Christ into a new life. Right? If we're living a regenerated life, if we're living a life that says, yes, the power of resurrection is real, the power of resurrection changed my life. In other words, God's same power that rose Jesus up is raising me into different thinking, different behaviors, different way of living, right? Say, I'm living a resurrected life now. And when I die, that same resurrected power is going to raise me up. That's awesome. How do you know you're going to be raised from the dead? The power of God working in your life now, changing your life now, changing your mind now. That says he's going to pick you up. He's going to bring you into the resurrection. It says you've been raised with Christ. Keep seeking things above. Again, when you know you're going to be resurrected, you say, okay, this isn't it. You know, there's something way beyond this. There's something else to live for. Seeking things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So kingdom people are created by regenerate. Now, actions. Actions speak louder than words. You ask somebody, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Now tell me. Show me. How does that look? Ephesians 2, one of our favorite texts, just to think about what it means that God, he says, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now, again, I got to show you that, you know, the power of God sent Jesus, the Son of God, the rescuer, and together they sent the Holy Spirit. So none of this is like, well, I thought you were going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Yes, it is. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all working. He said, we are God's workmanship. Remember I talked about the twisted, busted, you know, model, and it's being repaired. It's being fixed. We're God's workmanship. God's the one repairing us. God's the one making us right. And he says, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. In other words, the becoming children of God, becoming born again, is being called to doing what's pleasing to God, good works. And those good works, he says, God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, honoring, glorifying God by what we do. Regeneration cannot just be something you practice at church. It's something that goes with you on the job. It's something that goes with you in your home. It goes with you in your car. It goes with you everywhere you go. It's, you know, we're still God's people wherever we are, right? In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts and deceits. Deceit. That's humanity, right? And you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. We're talking about the image of God, right? The image of God is a good definition. Righteousness, holiness, and truth. That's what it means to be created in God's image, to be created in righteousness, holiness, and truth. Now, the other thing that the Holy Spirit does, and again, it's a Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is our text. We're in 1 Corinthians 12, right? He says there are different kinds of gifts. There's different kinds of services. There's different kinds of workings. Different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service. Same Lord. Different kinds of work. The same God works all of them in all people. This is the Trinitarian message. It's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit working to make us a people of God, not a person of God, a people of God. When people try to tell me they're practicing their Christianity by themselves at home, I just kind of shake my head and think, have you read the Bible? If you understand that every Y-O-U in the Bible is y'all. It's not singular. You all are the light of the world. You all need to be walking in righteousness and holiness. It's just every you, it's plural. One of my buddies here, I taught him that, and he went to seminary and he studied, and he said, man, the whole Bible's plural. None of it's about me. It's all about we and us. And that's exactly right. Yeah. So he says that God is at work. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit is at work. And it says, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The work of God, the power of God, the regeneration, the gifting of God. There's a lot of things that people do in the body of Christ, a lot of functions, a lot of things. And that's what we'll talk about next time. But here, last thing, a prayer. Last time I told you, Jesus said, if you have a good father who's honest and true, he said, you know, ask and he will give you the Holy Spirit. This is one of my favorite prayers of Paul in Ephesians. He says, for this reason, I bow down my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Just wanted us to remember asking God. This is an apostle asking God for the church. Lord God, by your riches and power and authority, by your majesty, fill our hearts. Fill us, Lord, in our inner being. Strengthen the inner person. Make us more and more your children. Help us, mighty God, to walk with you. Help us, Lord, to do the things that are pleasing to you. Help us to be kingdom people. By your regenerative power of the Holy Spirit. So, that's our word for the day. Father, we do pray that your Holy Spirit will bless our hearts and help us, Lord, to walk with you, to love you, to honor you, to glorify you, Lord. We cannot do anything on our own, Father. We need your help. We need your grace. We need your power. Please, Lord, bless us with the Holy Spirit that we may be rich in knowledge and power and love in Jesus Christ. Amen.